This is probably the most important topic if you're franchising your business or have franchised your business, which is, why do new franchisors fail? And what are some strategies to help you win? So we're going to have amazing answers today. And the reason why I could guarantee that is because Lisa Welko is with me today. And I think a lot of people subscribe to the channel know Lisa Welko. Lisa is one of the industry leaders in terms of franchise sales, being a franchise broker. And even before we started this stream, Lisa was sharing so much amazing information. And Lisa, let's just kick it off with, it's a big issue. You know, I had a call yesterday. A smart question a potential franchisor asked was, Charles, how many franchisors don't succeed? And what do I need to do not to be one of them, right? And I think one big secret in the franchise industry, not a secret, an issue when someone wants to franchise their business, people pump them up. They tell them how great your business looks. Oh, that your brand looks great. Franchise your business. Pay us some money. And here's the best part. We're going to sell franchises for you. Some of them make it sound like you just sit back. But then I also have conversations with really good business owners with very successful businesses. They franchised and they're getting solicited by people that have deep experience in the franchise world that want to take over their brand and sell, right? They want to just leverage their brand. And when I have conversations with those clients, Lisa, I tell them, look, when you franchise your business, you're going to be at a high point. You're going to feel like things are good. You've got your FDD. But that's really just the starting point, and where the success is going to come from is weathering that storm, because you're going to have a ton of low points. You need to keep digging and building. And so to help our clients get there, to help our community get there, no better person than to have this conversation with you, Lisa.
Well, thank you, Charles. I feel like we have this conversation a lot. But
well, and what I love on the lead-in when we were talking before the video was, and I don't want to scare everyone here, but you said you're like, Charles, more than ever, new franchisors need to step up their game.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what I see. And you just kind of look at them, you know, they see them at the conferences and that type of thing. And they're just like so wet and shiny and new and excited. And they think they just got the next best thing. And it's wonderful. But you can count them out. And I mean, I guess I don't know the stat on it, but how many new brands and how many new brands get to 10, how many get to 20, how of that percentage to get to 100. So I think really one of the things that they have to ask you when they ask about success is, okay, well, what does that look like for you? Like, are you trying to become household name, 500 locations? Are you trying to just, you know, get a nice little regional franchise system going and make some friends and have some other people like-minded walking shoulder to shoulder to grow your brand? You have to define success, because I don't know, Charles, you must know, but the percentage that get over 100 locations and then over 300 locations, I mean, that's a big differentiator. If I go looking for brands and if I have someone that only wants big brands, there's actually way less of those than there are, you know, the guys just starting.
What I think probably the most strategic thing, the point you're making, and I think this is probably one of the big failure points or a reason why a new franchisor fails, right? And I'll just restate what Lisa just said. You have to define what success is, right?
And in time increments.
Like, well, that's Lisa, we're in sync. That's exactly, I mean, like, so number one reason why you fail, Lisa's advice, which I think is so on point, is you don't define what success looks like. And then your other point, which is, okay, we know what success may look like. I want to grow a thriving franchise system. I want to grow nationally. Now Lisa said, what are the time increments? What's your 1, 2, 3, 5 year goal? What does success look like after your first year? What does it look like by year 5? And Lisa, I can 100% agree based on seeing brands that come to me that weren't our clients, they don't gain traction for 2 or 3 years. They've never defined what success is. So you've never charted that course. So you don't know what the destination is.
Right. Right. Well, like we said too, I think before I was there, right? So I was a franchisor 20-ish years ago, but you have to, it is so much harder. It really is. You have to know what you're doing. You can't just have an FDD and think everyone's just going to call you. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. You have to go to war for those first 10 franchisees. You've got to do everything in your power to cut through the noise and make sure that, and you got to make, then, the other part is you got to make sure they're strong. Because you're just so excited to have your first franchisee, second franchisee, third. And then how many franchisors do we talk to, Charles, where they say, oh, yeah, we're at 25, but we're getting rid of the first 7. Well, okay. And that's fine. And we get it. But you got to, that's going to be in your FDD. There's just all sorts of things. So it's a very much very double-edged sword. Like you've got to be careful with those first ones, but you've got to get them and you got to bring them on fast. Franchises out there that have been around, 20, 30 years and have 16 units, that's a hard, people look at that and say, what happened? Why did it take so long? You've got to know your stuff.
Well, you have to go to war for your first 10 franchisees. By the way, when we post on LinkedIn, that'll be the quote, what we've got to say to. But
we'll use this one. My other one that I always tell new franchisors, I don't care what the widget was. I don't care what your business model was. I want you to throw it out the window. Keep that strong. Keep that on the side. Your business right now is franchising. You are no longer the best roofer in the valley or the best cupcake on the mountain. You are a franchisor of the widget. So go and learn that business, because it's not the business that you thought it was. It is not just, coach cheerleader and patting them on the back and trying to tell them to make the next best cupcake.
I like war mindsets, Lisa. So let's go with your point. I agree, right? And then everyone, I will drone on and on about brand story and all this other stuff. So I'm not going to, but if I'm going to war, right? And I agree, we have our FDD. That's just the starting point. You want to make sure you've come out of the gate the right way. We've positioned it the right way, right? Territory structures, right? Unit level economics, whatever the case is. So we come out of the gate. We're ready for war. We take your advice. The reason why most franchisors fail is they don't set a plan.
Right.
They have this general plan. They don't have a specific 1 to 5 year plan. But now let's go into the first 12 months of our war strategy, right?
Yeah.
The battle is to get those first 10 franchisees.
Yeah.
I would say to me, those first 10, would you agree? I'm good with that being a 2 year goal.
Absolutely.
Between now and over the next 24 months, I want to have 10 aligned franchisees, well-capitalized franchisees. Okay.
Who are growing, who are scaling, and they're starting strong. Your entire focus, again, it's no longer you have to be able to keep your operation running smoothly while continuing to be the best franchisor you can be. The only way you're going to be the best franchisor is to take your eyes off of your corporate location and put all efforts into the success of those franchisees. And everything you do, you have to write down, because you're going to forget. You're going to say, oh, that's not in the operations manual. Okay, let me help you. Get it in the operations manual, because at 13 and 14 and 15, you're going to forget. So I think it's just so important. Just all efforts have to be on the success of those first franchisees.
And I'm a big believer too on the operations manual, Lisa, that it's always an evolution, right?
Yes.
One of my favorite programs is Trainial.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah,
we use that internally.
And update it. And
right. So it shouldn't be a book. It should be over time. Right. By franchisee 3. It's a series of videos, a series of tutorials, a series of quizzes, all the pain points you learn with franchisees 1 and 2.
Right.
Franchisee 10, it's an amazing experience, right? So you have that evolution. So new franchisor comes out of the gate. We're building up our war chest, our arsenal of assets, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have no franchisees yet. I have Let's assume I'm in an okay, I'm in a good industry. I have good unit level economics. And you've been through this so many times and you're so polite, but you're so honest and genuine too. You know, there'll be so many new franchisors at conferences. They're excited. People will make them feel excited. They'll join organizations. Right. They'll spend so much time trying to talk to Elisa Welko, right? Now, what are the things you hear from them versus the things you wish you heard from them?
Yeah, good question. So, I mean, I think a lot of it when brokers are quizzing these emerging brands, I mean, we tend to know what we're looking for, right? So you have to know your numbers. You have to know your unit economics. When you ask someone like, what's your all-in investment? What's your item 19 look like? Hey, what's your margin? Last thing you want to say, I mean, I know they can't tell margins to someone who's buying the business. But when they look at me and say, well, I can't really tell you that. I'm like, yeah, honey, you can. I need to know. So I think it's a matter of know your numbers, know that FDD. I mean, I know a franchise attorney wrote it for you and you paid thousands of dollars to get it written, but you need to know the answers. They need to roll off your tongue because that is the expectation that you know your business inside, outside, sideways, the whole bit. So I think that's the first thing is, you know, don't come to us and say, well, what do we want in a new franchisee? Well, we want them to have sales experience and be really good with people. No kidding. What else are we looking for? Right. So know what that franchisee looks like, who you're looking for to walk shoulder to shoulder with you. I know that the person, no matter what, is going to be able to take risks. I don't care how strong your franchise is. If you have less than 10 units, it's risky. Doesn't mean they're not out there. Some people like that. They want to be able to color outside the lines a little bit. They want to be able to be on, you know, the ground floor level or whatever you want to call it. But that's a specific personality that I look for when I'm talking to someone that I think, okay, this might work. This might be a good fit for them. But I mean, the biggest thing you have to tell them is know your FDD and know your brands. Don't push that up to know your brand, know your numbers. Don't push that on to somebody else because it makes you look weak.
Yeah. I mean, those are such big fundamentals. We actually have a workshop with our clients after we launched the FDD. You know, we've gone through all the legal and now we have a workshop on what's the best practices interpretation of your FDD in terms of exactly what your points are, right? Why do franchisee candidates care about your item 6 and item 7? How do you correlate your item 7 with your item 19, which is what's my estimated startup expense and what does my potential ROI look like, right? Yeah. And those factors. So for sure, drilling down FDD, knowing the numbers. Lisa,
and also your process though. So a lot of them have, you know, just these loosey-goosey phone calls and they'll get one thing attached. And I mean, the biggest thing I have to look at when I'm talking to emerging franchisors who I'm trying to give them advice is that an FSO is going to have an organized step-by-step forward progress anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks to get people from here's our brand to are you ready to sign? And so you can't just loosey-goosey it up because you're going to lose. This is a race to the finish line. And so you've got to be ready to go.
I don't want to divert us, but this is a big point you're raising, right? And my explanation to our clients is because they don't understand sometimes they're entering this space. Like, I had a question the other day. How do you feel about brokers that take 50%? I said, my first point is I think you need to understand what brokers do. These are people building professions, spending a lot of money, qualifying.
I guarantee I'm probably spending more money on leads than half.
Yes, this is my point. I'm like, you have to understand they're spending money on leads. They're qualifying their candidates. They're building that relationship that they're going to honor. And so they need to have trust in your brand and your process where if someone doesn't buy your franchise, they're going to say, Lisa, it's not a good fit for me, but boy, what great people. The process was great. What else do you have for me? Yeah. And I think they need to have that mindset, but 4 to 6 weeks, right? And for anyone listening, they don't know FSO is a franchise sales organization that does outsource franchise sales. And if you're a new franchisor, You may have a question, should I work with an FSO right now? The answer is you're not ready yet. But getting to your point, Lisa, which that's a separate video, but I want to give some insight.
And
what is 6-week process?
Competing with. That's who they're competing with.
Oh, yeah.
What?
What would be the milestone?
You're in the cupcake game. You're in the franchise game. So every other franchise at your price point is your competition. Sorry.
So FSOs are your competition. What would be a general framework of the process you would want to see over that 4 to 6 weeks? What are the milestones where if the franchisor says to you, well, Lisa, here's our process, this, that, you'd be like, Lisa, like, okay, I'm going to.
Okay, everybody get a pen, write this down.
Yes. Yeah. Let's go.
Here's what I want to see. So nice introduction call. And then you're going to follow that up with one or two videos about your brand that they can watch on their own time, share with their spouse, and still gain information about the brand. That way, the next call, you're asking questions as franchisor. You're making sure they watch that video so that they're moving along in the process. Did you have some questions around that? So now you're answering questions on that, giving them a little bit more meat. That second call is probably your big one, right? So that's going to be, okay, here's how, you know, what's more important in your business? Is it the operations? Is it the marketing? So something big there. But then follow it up with a couple more videos. So it's not marketing. It's got to be marketing and operations, FDD. So sometimes FDD needs to come early, depends on where you're at. Don't try to keep the FDD behind a curtain. For the love of God, do not require an NDA. We're going to laugh at you. We're going to laugh. We're going to talk behind your back. Stop doing that. So anyway, get them the FDD. Have that FDD review call. But remember, every time you're touching them and having that, you still need to follow up with the video and what happened in that call. You need to regurgitate to them what they've learned and what they're about to learn over and over. By then, they're ready for validation. And I know you don't have a ton of validation if you're an emerging brand, but you can validate with managers at your location. You can, you know, talk with other people on the management team. Eventually, you're going to have other franchisees. You're going to have to be careful of that, because if you're starting to grow fast, those franchisees don't want to be on the phone all day. So you might do some recorded validation calls and then just set some time aside, maybe once a week, for that person to be on the phone for an hour, have a group call, whatever that is. But I mean, that's it. You've got to always follow up, tell them what they've learned, tell them what they're about to learn, hit the high points, get them to the next stage. Because that's what everybody else is doing. So if you're competing against the big FSOs or the bigger companies, that's what they're doing. And so you need to be doing it. You can't look small.
Yeah, this is great advice. Lisa, on the second call, what type of detail do you go into, you would recommend on the FDD?
I mean, I think you have to go with 7 and 19, right? So you have to explain, like, hey, is this the first FDD that you've seen? Because I know it can be overwhelming. Like, let them experience that, right? 250 pages, lawyers talking to lawyers. But here's where you're going to look first. You're going to look at 7 and 19. Here's why we look at those. Those are the economics. We're a new brand. We don't have a whole lot of other things in here that should be scary to you. But if our numbers don't make sense, everything else in the FDD is kind of a waste of our time. So let's go through what the item 7 is, what it costs to get into this business, working capital, where you need that type of thing. But now let's talk about item 19 and how you're going to make your money, and remembering that item 19 is always a rear view mirror. It's not how much money you're going to make, and you're going to be one of the first. I mean, you kind of want to build them up. You are going to set our item 19 for next year. So this is the base. Where you go with it, you know, that's going to be up to you. But item 19 is going to help you understand how you're going to make money, how many revenue streams you're going to have, whatever that is, right? However you're going to build that up. But I mean, I think you go there first, because then all other conversations are going to lead back to that. Hey, remember when we talked about that marketing, or we talked about that, you know, local ad fund or the national ad fund? Well, now we're going to talk about what we do with that money and where that money goes. You know, remember when we talked about working capital? Now we're going to talk about the operations and where that money goes and where you spend it in order to give them some detail. But I mean, a lot of that can be done in video. It doesn't have to be, you know, they're only going to process about 20% of your conversation, right? 50% of the conversations, you've got to have it in writing for them.
Yeah, I love the focus. I love your point too about always letting them know, giving them the recap and letting them know what to expect next, right?
Right.
So that
right.
process, your item 19 and item 7 focus of, hey, let's talk about the economics of it and really connecting the dots on all the other things and about the business, right? Your point on the second call too, which was, hey, what's our big thing, right? About the business, our model, which then also ties into the item 19. So the point about video, if they're not leveraging videos, I think it's a big mistake. I think your platform is an amazing one too for franchisors to get out there and get that experience in terms of building that video and building that rapport. Lisa, because it's actually one of the most cost-effective things anyone could do. What's the website for your video platform?
It's franchisespeeddating.com.
Yeah.
And so we just changed platforms so people can log in and watch now for the past like 3 weeks of live webinars. So it's 5 webinars. It's 5 brands highlighting their brands in 5 minutes or less. And absolutely, emerging brands should have that anyway. Right. It's something that, hey guys, be able to highlight your brand, do your PowerPoint, get it in 5 minutes, because you can send that out. I mean, that can be part of your marketing, right? So
we talked about your point was it's harder than ever. And so my message for our clients always is let's outmaneuver the competition. Let's not follow what all the other brands are doing. This is guerrilla warfare for us, right?
This is war. Absolutely.
Yeah. So what I love that. So when we work with our clients, we're developing the FDD. We've actually developed through our FranX community. I have our clients while we're doing FDD development calls. We've given them a brand workshop,
good,
which is a series of master classes. It's about 7 or 8 hours. A video, there's a workbook. The goal at the end of the day is our why us, why now? What is the transfer?